I can't recall if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I think it is worth repeating that John Travolta has said on the record that Sylvester Stallone was the best director he ever worked with.
Did he really? Because
yep.
I don't believe that.
How is that believable?
That does bear repeating every episode.
Yeah, it really does.
The world cannot forget this.
Yeah.
Just twisting the knife on poor Quentin.
John.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates with Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Earl Grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Series, the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and the very last episode of a TV series and just try and figure out why it exists. My name's Morgan and joining me to do this in person for the first time in some time is my good friend Jeremy Wesman. Jerome.
Oh, hello.
How are you?
Been about six big ones.
Yeah, I know. This is a live six podcast.
Medium ones?
I can see your skin and I can touch it.
You can see my skin.
Yeah, it's oily.
Yep. I haven't...
What have you been doing?
I haven't bathed in... Well, there's no need to.
You haven't needed to, yeah. You can just sort of let the juices just sort of build up on you.
Trying to generate a bit of a smell, a bit of a funk, you know.
Yeah.
Personal brand.
Oh, I'm aware. Don't worry about that.
Trying to bottle it.
Good thing to the left of you, Scott, you're wearing two colognes, which is nice. To help cover the smell of Jeremy's, not the fact that he hasn't bathed in 6 months.
Mm. You got to cover your tracks.
So yeah, exactly. How are
put
you?
Put the first one on and then put the second one on. Mm. I'm well. I'm really well. It's great to be back in person. Obviously, it makes hopefully very little difference to the listeners, but I don't know. It's a nice vibe.
It is a nice vibe. It's different. And lastly, welcome, Aaron. How many colognes are you wearing today?
I lost count.
So the normal amount then.
Yeah, exactly. We're trying to break through the smell barrier.
Yeah.
Blunt force trauma.
It's a really strange
you can
aroma.
Smell us through your ears.
Yeah, it's a really strange aroma in this room. People can't smell us, but I can just tell you, I am going to pass out midway through this thing. It's pungent, stinging my nostrils. It's great. So first episode back, and we were just talking pre-pod that we haven't really tracked into law enforcement in the 67 odd episodes that we've done. So we're doing a cop show.
Considering the percentage of shows on TV at any given time that are police themed, it's kind of weird that we've managed to navigate through
and not
for this long.
We've talked about doing some. Mm. I feel like NYPD Blue came up at one point.
Yeah. My theory is that they all run for so long that they're just so incredibly daunting.
That's
and they've
true.
Got such a cycle of cast going through. Yeah, like, we're not going to do The Bill.
No, you know? Well, you can't. No. And you can't do any of the Law and Orders.
No,
we're
not going to do The Wire.
Is there a single cop show that's started that's actually finished?
I don't think so. Yeah. I think that
perpetuity. Yeah. Once you get one of those shows, you're made for life.
Bodyguard.
What was that one? What was that one with Tom Selleck?
Yeah.
Oh, Magnum PI.
No, the other one.
Oh, Blue Bloods.
Yeah.
Mm.
That looks sufficiently shit.
Yeah, it's got Selleck in it, so you just don't know. But
yeah,
we know post-Magnum Selleck is pretty rocky road.
What percentage of primetime shows do you reckon are law enforcement based?
That's
got to be like 30%.
20-30%.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you got hospital dramas.
Yep.
You got police dramas.
Yes.
You've got some sort of mystery family murder scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest is supernatural shit.
Yeah, true. So, would you count...
Every single show can be categorized as one of those things.
Yeah. Mm. So,
if you're watching a reality show and a police car drives past in the background, that's
police,
a cop show.
It's a procedural drama.
Yeah.
You've crossed the barrier.
Dun, dun.
Oh, dear. But no, so we decided to do Chips as our first foray into law enforcement, which I was pretty excited about as I'm a big Eric Estrada guy.
Yeah.
Bet you guys didn't know that about me.
No.
Love Eric Estrada.
You've changed during lockdown.
I have. I should say, I'm not like a president of the fan club, but if there was a membership, I'd probably be gold tier. So, I'm attending meetings.
If they offered the haircut at your local hairdresser,
I'd be getting it, yeah. But... Chips was an issue. Honestly, I actually didn't have much knowledge about the show, apart from the fact they made a movie about it recently, which apparently Eric Estrada and Larry Wilcox...
Oh, is that recent?
Yeah, 2017.
Damn.
The one with Michael Peña. Actually, here's a fun fact. This is the second movie... Second...
So, Peña?
It's Peña, isn't it?
Yeah,
I've always said Peña.
I thought it was Peña.
Michael Peña.
This is the second television show we've done with a Michael Peña-led reboot.
Good trivia.
Baywatch?
Fantasy Island.
Oh, okay.
has a movie reboot with Michael Peña as Mr. Rourke.
That's
a great little stat. Yeah. Oh, so we got two Michael Peña
Michael Peña is Mr. Rourke.
Yeah, it's Mr. Rourke.
I wouldn't cast it that. I'm not saying it's bad, but I wouldn't make that decision.
I like Michael Peña, but I don't think I don't know anything about him as Mr. Rock.
He hasn't got the gravitas, the class.
You need an older.
Isn't he like sort of like sort of short and stocky, and Rourke's sort of tall and thin?
Yeah, and Rourke's also kind of.
Am I thinking of the right guy? He's in like.
You sure he wasn't playing Tattoo?
The Shield.
I'm feeling now.
The pain.
No, he played every character in it, I'm pretty sure.
That's what I'm thinking
satirical.
Of.
Michael Peña's one-man stage show of Fantasy Island.
Just black skivvy, black pants.
Yeah, I would go to see that.
Just one chair in the center of the stage.
No, if he's doing chips like that as well. I'm pretty sure. No motorbike, but just sort of squatting down, underneath.
It was him.
And it's a bell.
That wasn't a one-man show. That was him and Dax Shepard. It's a two-man show. It's like Middleditch and Schwartz. Yeah, a bit like that.
Fantastic.
But chips.
Anyway, chips. Jez, what did you know about chips going in?
I knew the uniforms and Reno 911. Is that like a parody, a spoof of this?
I feel
like this is heavily spoofed.
Be a spoof of this?
The tan Highway Patrol uniforms are very ubiquitous. You see them in a lot of movies. Mm. I also probably conflated this with... Dumb and Dumber, because there's a scene where they get pulled over.
Yeah.
You know, drinks the piss.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, nothing.
Okay. Scott, what about you?
You're a silver tier member.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very low bar of entry.
Very, very little. I knew the logo. Yeah. I knew that they were on motorcycles. Yes. Literally that's it. I didn't even know it was in California.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know why. I didn't know what car.
Aaron, I thought
they were like chippies, like carpenters. Yeah,
Aaron, I'm sure you must have had at least. So my experience was, there's two references from two other sitcoms. Now I think 30 Rock was one.
Oh yeah,
this is from Danny's Chips costume. What is it doing here?
This badge is a symbol of dignity, honor, and dramatized 1970s interethnic California daytime motorcycle highway justice.
And the other one was Scrubs.
Yes.
Which is the best one, and I feel like we'll roll a clip in here.
What are you doing here?
I'm just meeting some friends here for drinks.
Yes, me too, friends.
Hey.
Punch!
Damn, I still got it.
Wait a second, dude. Wait, that was us.
I know.
Greatest night ever!
So that's about
was my level as well.
Yeah. Mm. And I know Eric Estrada plays himself in Van Wilder Party.
He plays himself in a lot. He hasn't done much after Chips, and he really rode
that. He's a really iconic actor as himself. I don't understand why.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll unpack that over the next 60 minutes.
Just anyone in the 70s that, you know, had any charisma, just your career's made to a certain extent. Well, John Travolta.
He actually gets a mention in this.
He does.
Which, don't worry, we'll get to that in the finale. I got a whole thing here. It's not what you think it's going to be.
A manifesto?
It's yeah, I do. Well, I've been writing that for years. My John Travolta manifesto.
Your John Travolta choose your own adventure erotica.
It always ends with Morgan getting choked out in the cockpit of John Travolta's 747. Yeah.
It's an easy choose your own adventure when there's only one choice
exactly,
every time.
Exactly. It's like the choose your own adventure Goosebump books, which always ends up, you end up in the field getting squashed by a giant hand. Yeah. That's this version of it. Is it John Travolta chokes you out in the cockpit of a 747?
Like the headphone cable. Yeah. Oh!
It's terrifying.
In a nosedive.
Yeah, exactly. It's either that or like you end up in like the Being John Malkovich world where everyone is John Travolta's head. John Travolta.
That's way too much for you.
Yeah, well, that's too much. That's why I haven't written that one yet. It's a future project.
Who, in order of most likely to least likely be a police, a motorbike cop of us, what does it go? Aaron, Morgan, Scott, I'm probably last.
Who's the least capable to ride a motorbike? Do you guys know how to ride a motorbike?
No.
I don't, but I'm tipping Jeff.
Let me rephrase that. Mm. Have you ever ridden a motorbike?
Yes.
Ridden the scooter?
Mm. Okay.
I've ridden a dirt bike. And I stacked it.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And the throttle got stuck and it was just... and it just went... Yeah, it was on the ground. The back wheels spraying mud everywhere. And my friend's dad had to run over. He's, oh, Jesus, mate. He had to, like, help me. pick it up. Yeah. So,
oh man.
But I mean, that's more experience than you've got.
It's true. Well, no,
given what we saw in Chips, that sounds about right. Yeah, that's what
I've ridden a scooter.
Eric Estrada does that at least 3 times in the first episode.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you a little tidbit that Eric Estrada and Larry Wilcox did most of their own stunts, and apparently Estrada was notorious for getting into accidents. Like there's like
real.
Yeah, he's actually like
real method actor.
He really got into the part. Like apparently a lot of accidents with Estrada.
Oh boy.
Did you find it funny? So we'll get into the first episode in a bit.
Yeah.
But there's a moment where he's actually we should do the rip.
Yeah, we'll whip into the first and then we'll go from there.
Chips opens with our two leads, Ponch and John Baker, two motorcycle highway patrolmen with a penchant for tight-fitting uniforms. Ponch, however, is still on probation and keeps getting into accidents, including getting his bike stuck in a glue spill and inadvertently sticking his uniform to his skin. So he desperately needs a win with the sergeant.
Now I want you to take a good, hard look, and you tell me, do you think there's any room in here to bury another one of your accidents?
I'm hot, I'm tired, I'm sticky, so if it's all the same to you, let's just take a rain check on the lecture, Sarge, because right now I really don't need it.
But redemption is right around the corner when the Sarge tasks the squad with tracking down a sports car trafficking ring.
Every time this gang strikes, they hit one area and take 6 cars. It's always 6, and somehow they just manage to disappear.
Ponch and Baker locate the thieves and shepherd them with their bikes in the back streets of LA straight to the local prison. Do not pass go, do not collect $200. Now Ponch is off probation and somewhat safely back on the roads.
First thing I want to address is when they're talking
about their disdain for car drivers.
Well,
when his bike's in the shop, and he's like, "Oh, they're not going to put you in a car, are they?"
Ugh, yeah. Fate worse than death. Hand in the badge.
When they're talking about when they're trying to track down the stolen cars, and the chief goes, "Look out for anything suspicious, like punched out ignitions." It's like, what? Well, you would always be looking for that.
How close are you riding
exactly.
to see the punched out ignition on a car?
If you see that, it's probably stolen. Yeah, probably stolen. Is that and you're just working this out now?
Oh, I couldn't get started, sorry.
It's just to punch out the ignition with a screwdriver. Oh, okay. Well, that sounds legitimate.
Yeah, lost my keys. So just this one of one, you know, 1975 irreplaceable Porsche. I just got a screwdriver and rammed it punch straight into the ignition barrel.
Also, immediately after that, all the cops get out of their motorcycles and go at the same time. So I feel like there's probably about a window of an hour where there's no police on the
road.
That's the time you should be stealing cars and punching out ignitions.
When they get their morning briefing?
Yeah, exactly. Seems like, is there anyone on the road? Because there's a lot of bikes there. It seems like all the resources are just taken off the road for that 1 hour.
No,
like,
they're all going to come in and wolf whistle the receptionist.
I was going to say that. That's something that
priorities.
That definitely hasn't aged well.
I was saying this earlier to Scott and Aaron. The weirdest part about it is... So this receptionist comes in to give the chief a briefing and everyone in the room starts going, you know, I can't wolf whistle, but you get the idea.
It is.
You all know what, you know what laughter sounds like.
Erupting.
Yeah, exactly. All right, take it easy.
We all know what wolf whistling sounds
like. Rather than the chief standing up for her, he's like,
come on, give a guy a break, huh?
Somehow it's an imposition on him that they're catcalling her. It's like even the people that are trying to, throw some water on the misogyny are like doing it like completely hand-fisted
completely
as well.
Missing. Throwing some more gasoline on there.
Go on, guys, lay off me.
Yeah. Well, it's the 70s, you know.
Yeah.
It really was.
It's tolerated.
70s. It was completely above board to try and chat up a car crash victim.
I was going
to
say, it's not tolerated. It's encouraged.
We've got to talk about that as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think Estrada gets a little bit of license to do stuff like that.
So there's
he's handsome?
Because he's Eric Estrada.
Yeah. So there's like, they're chasing some other guy on a hog. It was a bit of motorbike action.
Yeah.
And the bikey cuts off this woman in like a beetle and her car flips on the highway.
Quite aggressively.
And she's trapped like in the driver's seat with her legs pinned.
Yeah. Bleeding from the head.
Yeah. Eric Estrada just...
Yeah, he's just chatting her up.
Just puts the moves on it.
Just stay relaxed. The rescue unit's already on the way.
And if I know those guys, they'll probably be here before I even have time to get fresh with you. Yeah, those guys are always out to spoil my fun.
But he's like fixing her hair and like touching her face.
It's pretty full on. Oh. Clearly the way it's all done, it's like to show how charming.
Why is it? It comes off well.
Yeah, that's inappropriate.
Eric Estrada, who has no medical training, is like, oh, we'll just try and drag you. out.
Re-break your spine.
Should not be doing that. And as a motorcycle cop, he should know that first and foremost. He should not be doing anything before the paramedics arrive, who can actually professionally.
How many people has he killed? Except getting fresh with her.
Well, yeah, I mean, stay in your lane.
But they would be first on the scene, so many horrific car accidents, and he's just like, just grabs their shoulders, tries to yank them out. He's like, just
saddle up the feet, get some good leverage. Or,
do you think maybe...
Might as well hit on you.
Now, I want you to put your arms around my neck, okay? I'm going to try and ease you out now.
Oh, stop.
It would have fit well in David Cronenberg's Crash. Just really gets off on car crashes.
I really want to watch that. I was listening to something the other day and it was mentioned and I was like, damn, that sounds...
It sounds pretty wild.
Wild.
Pretty... Sound like your fetish? Like you could get into it?
It could be.
Oh, yeah.
There is some weird...
James Spader's in it, isn't he?
There's some weird Cronenberg stuff. Even this, look at some of his 70s
That is
work.
An understatement.
Some of his 70s work I was reading about recently and I was like, whoa, this sounds full on.
Yeah, it's a lot.
How much do you think the... tightness of the uniforms get in the way of the job?
They are so tight.
Because they are very tight.
Really tight.
Like peak 70s tight, like...
And then like the really
Magnum
high...
Magnum PI pants type.
Tight. High leather boots as well.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, high leather boots, like skin tight jeans and just choking the biceps.
Yeah. Are they made...
Zero mobility.
Are they elastic so that you can move?
Might be.
I don't know.
Like, looks like they're sewing them onto them at the start of every day.
Synthetic fabrics were, you know, really taken off around then. So maybe they are just Lycra.
That's what I'd have to... that's what I'm thinking. Like, it needs to be... You need range of movement.
Shouldn't they have a jacket? Like a short sleeve?
Oh, 100% they should have a
short sleeve on a bike all day, 8 hours a day, every day of the week.
Does Estrada have any skin left?
Yeah, Estrada eats it in like the first 5 minutes trying to cut across two lanes.
He comes off twice in the first episode. One when he parks his bike in glue.
I feel like he's very hard done by when they like chastise him for the glue accident. It's like,
but why did he park his bike in the glue?
It started pouring across to where he was. But like, you know, they're clearing up an accident. Also, when they get called out to that accident, they're at the station. Like, oh, yeah, there's a truck accident on the highway. Glue truck pouring over the road. And they're on the freeway. It's so backed up. And they just sort of casually rock up. What seems probably like half an hour after it gets reported.
And they're first responders
exactly.
somehow.
That's catastrophic. Yeah. It took that long for anyone to get out there.
And the thing that blew my mind as well is like none of them know what to do with the spill. I feel like they would attend a lot of those sorts of spills. And Baker asks the guy, the cowboy truck, he's like, I just told it. I don't know.
Whammo. This gal in the El Camino cut right in front of me. Well, I throwed on the brakes, and the next thing I know, I am doing a square dance across the freeway.
I don't know. Mm. Would we would like throw some flour on there to suck it up? I don't know.
Chuck a motorbike on there.
Call the fire brigade or something.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
It's just like, hoses
off the road or something. Yeah.
We'll just sit here and watch all this glue pour everywhere and then
just sort of
laugh
at
the guy
who's see what happens.
Estrada slip around in it.
Aaron and I were also talking, like, because Estrada, like, so he gets his bike stuck in it and then tries to rev it out of there, falls off. He's covered in glue. That's a real problem. What? Like, it's soaked through his clothes.
He's got his skin tight uniform and he's in it for the next
presumably hour or two.
He's gonna have to
dealing with that.
Bathe in kerosene or something.
Second skin now.
Yeah. It's like he's got to get a new uniform just to wear over the top of that one.
That's what he wanted, though.
Yeah, that's kind of even tighter.
That's kind of Cronenberg-esque.
Yeah. Second skin.
The uniform is now a part of him.
Why didn't he try to push his bike out of the glue? Why did he just
rev it as hard as he could?
I just don't think the glue would have set that quickly.
Definitely not.
Not with it pouring out like that. I don't know. Was it?
And
what kind of glue was it?
I would have thought glue around in a big oil tanker anyway.
You don't do that.
Where's he pumping that?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Is it like cement?
He just holds it.
Yeah, I don't know about the glue. Look, is it kind of like a cement mixer thing, but for like, I don't know, primary school kids?
I don't
know. Yeah, they just like...
just taking it to the glue factory? I don't know.
They've just got big vats under the school. Yeah. and they've got a glue pump in every classroom.
The glue tap.
Straight from the source.
Get it, yeah, get to the Bowser. Get some PVA.
I do... the. I want to talk about... I really want to talk about the actual bad guys and when they've... like the... when they finally work out who they are and they're chasing them down and they go...
wait, can we talk about the decoy truck
the decoy
first?
Truck. Oh, right. Oh, the guy who pulls the beer out the window?
Yeah, why is he... okay. Throws the beer on
that is...
So to set this up, the bad guys are like they've taken a truck and then they've put... like they've swapped the plates with another truck or something?
Yeah. Yep.
And so they're trying to like... they're like hauling cars out of... Porsches and stuff out of California. Mm. And then... but there's another truck that they end up getting on the tail of.
Yeah.
With two truck drivers.
Yeah. They're the legitimate...
smashing beers in the cab as you do. Yeah.
And those ones are legitimate... like they are actual car movers. They're, yeah. They're if apparently it's a thing.
And alcoholics.
But one's drinking beer in the not the driver, the other guy. And then when the cops start to pull him down, he tips the beer out the window like, and just gets all over.
Oh, shit, I got to get rid of it.
Dump that.
Come on, I got a chippy on my tail. Quick, dump it.
I just put it down like the side of the cab.
Hide it.
They're not going to breathalyze you. You're the passenger. Yeah,
they're looking for like a multi-million dollar luxury car ring.
Yeah.
They're not worried about a single beer. Mm. And then when Ponch walks around, he is drenched. Like the entire saturated front of his shirt has been covered in like 3 liters of beer.
Honestly, and I thought Ponch was going to knock him clean out. He was so mad.
Nah, he loves it. That's what he wants. He's like, same with the glue.
I can smell the brand.
He's a real grub.
Yeah. He wants it to stick to his skin.
The thing I want to talk about, so when they do find the actual criminals in the actual truck, and they start chasing them down, they're like...
all right, we got to lighten our load. They got an idea. Take the next off-ramp.
Take the trailer off. That's not going to help you against motorbikes. A truck is very slow.
Yeah. It's like not at all agile. No, and you're zipping through LA traffic.
Exactly. Getting started, they're going to catch you immediately. I just don't... like, I can't believe that was even part of the plan.
They
just keep the cars.
Do they end up corralling them back to the police station?
Yeah.
Yes. They corral... no, to a prison. Also, like, and they, no trials, they corral straight them. To prison. Like, I would not be like... with Ponch and Baker, they're like... pulling up in front of them. It's like, don't do that in a truck.
These guys are going to kill you.
Yeah. Like, even if they don't want to do it on purpose, trucks, again, don't slow down quickly. It'd kill them. They shouldn't be corralling.
They've been around trucks, you know. They should know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They're not very quick. It takes them a while to get speed. And they don't turn well and they don't stop quickly. Yeah. So,
I'm like, watching the main guy, like, fucking go around on the big wheel.
The big wheel. It's like a meter in diameter.
Stress me out. Yeah. Like, this thing's going to flip.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's got to be one of the more dangerous vehicles to try and stunt drive.
Yeah, honestly, like if they're trying to like lose them in the like we'll lose them in the back streets with our huge with our truck,
just two motorbikes.
Yeah, it's got no trailer, so it'll be fine. Like
very identifiable.
Yeah, exactly. Get on the freeway, go in a straight line because you're gonna
got a good top speed, but that's it.
Exactly. Yeah. And even then you're not gonna lose bikes in the back streets in a Mack truck. It's like you probably couldn't do that even in a sports car. They're motorbikes.
Yeah, I like the idea of the chips cops like shepherding the criminals.
I thought
just guiding them to
prison. It's circumvent justice. Go around the court straight to jail.
Yeah,
real Tommy Wiseau stuff there.
To the credit of this show, I really maybe enjoys a bit too much, but I was very impressed with the way that it was shot. They've got a lot of different like variation shot like. Cameras mounted on the side of the bike and on the side of the truck and long zoom shots following them, tracking shots on the high. Like this would not have been an easy show to make.
Yeah.
And it is actually surprising how lighthearted it all is considering how much effort it would have taken to make this show.
And like the 5 minute opening and closing montages of all different shots that have their own like weird little bits of dialogue as well where they're half talking to another motorist and...
yeah,
a lot of effort went into that.
This first episode wasn't that bad. I didn't hate this. Admittedly, I watched it at a slightly quicker speed, but that's really not here nor there. It was better than I thought it was going to be.
You know, there's a bit of misogyny peppered in, but...
It's the 70s, though. It's the 70s, and you sort of got
it's Ponch.
Yeah, exactly. It's Eric Estrada. It's like you kind of... you got to expect that going into it. If you're going to watch a show from the 70s, expect there to be some things that are going to age poorly.
I didn't expect him to hit on a car crash victim when he's still trapped in the car.
That's, yeah, I feel like that would have been in poor taste even then. So.
Pick your moments.
Yeah, he really did pick one.
Now, Jez, you're a lawyer. There was a scene where Ponch was hitting on another woman at a bar. Yep. And he...
where they serve frosty... Coca-Cola's in the plus, paper cup.
Nothing like a hard day on the highways. Frosty Coke. He's hitting on a woman and implies he's a lawyer by saying he's in law enforcement.
So your daddy's a judge, huh? Well, now that's a coincidence because I practice law too.
Really? A lawyer? You know, I really dig lawyers.
Do you reckon a lawyer is like leagues ahead of a cop in terms of... hitting on someone at a bar?
Because she completely, as soon as she finds out she's a cop, she leaves. She's like,
out of there.
Get out of here.
I mean, it depends what you're looking for, but I reckon police, being a cop is a bit sexier than being a lawyer.
That's what I would have thought.
Got the uniform, you know, especially on the motorbike. Yeah. A bit of danger involved.
Lawyers are kind of, society has a different attitude towards lawyers now than they did close to 50 years ago.
Like, that's true.
A lawyer was like something to be respected, and now it's kind of like, oh, you're just a money-chasing, soulless
But jazz. To be fair, now everyone hates cops, so...
That's true. Authority's down at the moment.
What works?
What's that?
What works?
Doctor still
Scott,
works.
Scott, you're single.
I think...
What are you?
What do you pretend to be when you go out and hit on women?
Yeah, what do I...
Who just crashed their car.
That's my
highway patrol.
Crazy fucking plan. Yeah. I don't know. If I were to do that, it might be like... I think Fireman still goes good.
Fireman's still good.
Fireman's a bit of a classic.
Stocks up high in Australia always as well. You know, we're a very fire-prone country, so that's good.
Always doing a good job.
Yeah. I think that or as you said, doctor or some description is going to stay. I mean,
doctors, I think, aren't what they used to
be. They get a
mortician?
Bit of a
different.
I think that's an underrated profession.
Undertaker?
Yeah.
You'd at least be intrigued, you know?
Yeah.
State coroner?
Oh, that's one of my classics. I've used that a few times back in my day.
Coroner.
State coroner. What do you do? The coroner.
Coroner is basically a lawyer.
More or less, yeah. Mm. It's very rewarding work. I know because I've pretended to be one while hitting on women.
Hanging out with a bunch
the
of stiffs.
The rewards are fantastic.
Exactly. Mm. It's rewarding. You know, there's coronial inquests. Just got to get to the truth, you know. That's what I'm about.
Mm-hmm.
How did this woman die? She was trapped in her car after a horrific accident. And rather than, you know, receiving medical attention, she just got hit on relentlessly.
Yeah.
It's the number one cause of death in Morgan's time as state coroner.
Exactly.
Suave Latina, man.
Goddamn highway patrolman hitting on women. It's the leading cause.
Maybe a little negligent in his duties.
That'll just about do us for the first episode. Aaron, do you want to take us into the last?
In the Chips finale, the Sarge has his car stolen by two young women and, naturally, diverts all police resources into failed attempts to get it back.
All units, S3, this is a priority. This is 23 in pursuit of stolen vehicle. Use caution in apprehending the suspects and taking the vehicle back into custody.
Meanwhile, Ponch is training a ragtag group of adolescent cops for a basketball match against the rival police department.
But the Brat Patrol, I've served my time with them.
And you served it well, and the captain remembered. And the captain wants to win this basketball game.
He channels his inner coach Carter, gets them through some very diverse personal issues, and inspires them to win the game with a free throw at the buzzer. Freeze frame ending and all.
You know what this finale reminded me of? It reminded me of the finale of Welcome Back, Cotter.
Yep.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I'm glad we all got there because it's
very little to do with policing.
Exactly. They've just a lot of the Larry Wilcox is gone, obviously, and it just seems it's such a filler. Like you can see why
so
the show
filler.
Ended. Like there's nothing.
They had like 2 4-minute basketball montages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no like police. There's barely any sort of police highway work.
Yeah. They did not go on a highway. They've lost the here. In chips. Yeah. I forgot where they came from.
The whole show. It's gone.
Sips.
Kips. and like a slapstick comedy now. The Sarge just sends out the guys to...
And it's got like a weird kind of like Sandlot Kids style dealing with bullies vibes sort of thing.
Why did he leave his keys in the car?
I don't know.
So, yeah, the Sarge had his car stolen was...
And then he tries to defend that position.
He left the engine running while he went to buy a paper, and two women just got in it and drove off.
And he's like, what do you mean?
You left your keys in the car? Everybody lets their car idle when they just go to buy a newspaper.
What?
Also,
petrol, it's actually way cheaper to just constantly
keep it
running than to have after. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, pretty ballsy move to steal what is clearly a police sergeant's car.
Yeah.
Right in front of him. You're going to get tracked down pretty quickly.
Are they just like opportunistic thieves?
That's what it seems like.
Because they're just joyriding around the whole episode while there's dozens of cops hunting them down.
Yeah, and
they're just digging deeper and deeper. They're going away for a much longer time.
Exactly, caused a number of accidents.
Yeah, this is vehicular manslaughter. Yeah,
they went from probably like probation for 12 months to probably 7 or 8 years jail time.
Easy.
But you don't understand, Scott. They're pretty blonde women.
Yeah, they'll probably get away with it.
How can they be criminals when they're pretty and blonde?
It's 1983. And they just haven't, they're just like, they're not stressed out at all. Like they're just having a laugh in the car. And it's like
terrible actions.
It's a really bad storyline.
The bottom of the barrel.
In their defense, like what direction are you going to give them to make it make sense in this scenario?
It's true.
There's one point where they're having a picnic and some cops drive down the street and they just ditch these two dudes.
It's like Looney Tunes or something. It really doesn't make any sense.
It's so... And that's the B storyline, and that's just nonsensical. And then the A storyline
is about the big basketball game.
Exactly. And what the weirdest collection of kids are the cadets? Like
the weirdest collection of stereotypes.
Ponch is going. This is for his Oscar reel. Just because he knew it was going to be his last episode.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to really
help these.
Crank up the dramatic chops.
Swing for the fence.
How do I reach these kids?
Johnny LaRusso with the giant monobrow.
So is this a thing? Because like these kids are like junior police officers. Like how like there's like, you know, like Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts kind of thing.
Cadets.
And they just go be police at their school.
Is this a real thing?
I reckon it'd be a thing.
Like, do cadets carry?
Yeah.
Are they packing?
Yeah, I reckon.
I think they should be.
Torches?
At least a taser and some bare mace.
Someone runs down the hallway and they just... 7 shots in his back.
Putting out the spike strip for someone riding their BMX down.
There is one scene, though, when the kids first get to the gym and they're there. And then, like, the last guy who's like, his mum won't let him play.
You did! We thought you weren't going to make it. Where is your stuff?
I didn't bring it. I can't play today.
What are you talking about?
My mother won't let me play.
But it's like they arrived like 10 seconds before he did. They're like, oh, you're late. What do you mean? It's like, well, I was just walking behind you. I just had to say goodbye to my mum.
So I think it's worth going through the different characters here just to highlight
how
one-dimensional they are and how little effort they put into thinking about like, oh, I wonder what this character might be like.
Mm.
So there's like...
There's Poindexter Goody Two-Shoes,
right? Who's just like, sir, yes, sir, blah, blah, blah. Who's like a little, you know, small kind of kid.
Lord Frost, attention! Stand at attention, you bunch of jerks!
Who's way younger than the rest of them.
Oh, yeah.
Especially that one guy.
There's like Becky Lou, who's just like... Literally, there's no line that isn't about her nails or her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Becky Lou Grabowski. You're really cute. Too bad I've got a boyfriend. He's just the cutest guy.
Oh, there was one about mascara. So, you know... You know, you're not giving her enough credit.
There's like
she's got range.
There's like young African American teen. I forget his name.
The talented basketballer
who's just like riding on a scholarship.
Yeah.
Only characteristic is that he's good at basketball.
CT Montgomery, pretty good with that basketball. CT, hey, this is not a basketball. This is a ticket to Easy Street.
Really fleshed him out.
And then.
Bad boy, Italian 27.
Bad boy Italian. We'll get into him because that's a whole big thing. That's a whole big thing. And then there's just
there's the fat kid.
Then there's the fat kid.
Activist girl.
Trying to get the minimum wage for housewives.
Yeah. What I don't understand about this is like why they. Like, just have a few less of them and flesh them out a bit more.
Like activist girl is dressed like Che Guevara.
Yeah.
She's got like a beret.
It's ridiculous. Like, if you want to make them, like, why does there have to be eight of them? Like, this is not the show format.
Five's enough.
To solve Welcome Back Cotter style.
Yeah.
Troubled youths problems.
Yeah. See, well, there could be eight, but just focus on one.
Just have focus one on one.
Main. Yeah. Does he get to all of them? He doesn't do the activist girl.
No, I think
No.
I mean, CT, he helps out getting the grades.
CT.
He gives the fat kid and the Poindex the courage.
Yeah, yep. By confronting the bullies.
Yep.
But
we have to talk about Johnny. Johnny is the one who's like 26.
Yeah.
God. He's supposed to be, 16?
Still at school. Mm. And his big dilemma is that he doesn't tell his dad about the basketball match because he's embarrassed about the fact that his dad has an accent.
He'd feel out of place.
No, he wouldn't. You'd feel out of place. Look, nobody else's father's got an accent.
When
his dad comes on the screen, they play like the Godfather.
Never go against the family. He's got the cotton balls in.
Yeah.
Anything is all right, you know. It is now, Papa.
My son, you've come to me.
It's my son's big basketball match.
Flamenco guitar almost. Not really.
Yeah, but he just had like a mild, miscellaneous European accent. Yeah.
Like, this is in America, a country famously built by immigrants.
Yeah. It's very diluted. And he's just going to be sitting in the stands at the basketball game. Like, what are you afraid of? But his dad will yell out some words of encouragement and they'll just stop the game. The ref will blow the whistle. Whoa. Is that guy got an accent?
It's so absurd. And like, they build it up as like, you know, Ponch is talking to him throughout the episode of like, oh, you can bring your dad. And he's like, yeah, whatever. And like, you're thinking like it's going to be something like pretty dark.
Yeah. Maybe his dad's gone to prison or something.
He's violent or something. And they don't even say like, they don't even specify, like, my dad's Italian or something. It's like, he's got an accent. He sounds funny.
Yeah.
What?
It's sick.
My secret chain.
It's such a weird way to angle
it. I didn't understand
it at all. How is that held him back at school for like 10 years?
Yeah. Well, it's my dad's accent. Yeah, there's no problem here.
He's been acting out.
It's not. They really. The thing is. I think it's because the problem is they've given Estrada eight different things to get through.
Mm.
We got 48 minutes plus the B storyline, which is well, that's a train wreck within itself. But so they have to really machine gun out the conclusions. So what's he ashamed of? Can't be prison too dark. An accent? That's halfway there.
It's like, can we do like a racism thing? Nah, I don't have enough time. All right, funny voices.
Yeah, boom, done.
Next best.
I feel like Estrada probably wrote that. He's like, I can see it now. They're probably saying, hey, look, there's going to be eight kids. But we'll have just some background ones. Like, no. I want to help them all. We got a big heart. I've got a lot of love to give.
And also, like, what nationality is Eric Estrada? Would you say? Because I thought he was going to like
South American. I don't know.
I thought he was going to like relate to him in like Central American. Like maybe his parents were from
Puerto Rican descent.
There you go.
Let's get to the. What we really want to talk about, which is Becky Lou, when she mentions,
oh yeah,
when she mentions like oh, what's it like? Yeah,
my boyfriend has these beautiful eyes. I want to tell you, CG. I look into them; it's like seventh heaven. And the other night when we were dancing, it was just like being with John Travolta.
I think that unfortunately has not aged well.
I thought you were going to talk about the advice that.
I'll circle to that.
We'll get
more John Travolta. Yeah.
My manifesto.
Travolta in 1983. That's probably a good time.
That's peak Travolta right there.
Yeah.
I mean, what year is Saturday Night?
Well, I believe
78 or something.
Okay.
So if you got married to John Travolta in 1977, is that when Grease came out? If you married him during Grease, when would you have divorced him?
Well, I feel like you probably...
When you're off the train.
I think it's probably divorcing... You probably divorce... Saturday Night Fever... I think Saturday Night Fever was about 81. I think it was a bit further back. And then he had...
77.
It was 77? Yep. Okay, my apologies.
Would you ditch him by the sequel, Staying Alive? Directed by Sylvester Stallone.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, you ditch him there, and then you probably get back together around the early 90s for Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
just in time
for
Pulp Fiction and Swordfish and Disturbia. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
And then, interesting. So you probably get off that sinking ship now. Yeah. I love John, but his recent body of work is not great. I really can't defend it anymore.
I can't recall if I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but I think it is worth repeating that John Travolta has said on the record that Sylvester Stallone was the best director he ever worked with.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Because I don't believe that.
How is that believable?
That does bear repeating every episode.
Yeah, it really does.
The world cannot forget this. Yeah.
Just twisting the knife on poor Quentin.
Yeah, brutal.
John.
Jez. So Eric Estrada's advice
that he gave to Becky Lou.
So she's
raving about her boyfriend the whole episode. And she comes to him in tears. And I thought maybe that the boyfriend would have broken up with her.
Yeah.
But no, the boyfriend wants to go all the way.
All the way.
All the way. And I was like, oh no.
I thought this was
punch,
well.
Yeah. Punch, punch,
punch. Temperate.
Pump breaks.
And he's in his uniform too, mind you. Just hanging at home, full uniform.
I told you, can't take that thing off.
Exactly. Also, go to the police cadet's contact. Don't go to my mother about this.
And also, she knows his address.
Yeah, it's also strange.
It's actually, weird. You know what? The advice isn't too bad, but I just don't know why they...
So she's like, what should I do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was also...
He was like, maybe just stick to hand stuff.
He basically said, there's a lot of other things you can do if you don't want to go all the way. What are you referring to?
Everyone doesn't do it. There are some alternatives to going all the way for kids your age.
Punch knows.
Just, I mean, if it was like at... Like, this conversation could have been okay if it wasn't at his house. The fact that it's at his house, I think, makes it about three times worse.
He's not going to act on that, though, because she's moving around freely. She's not trapped under a flip car.
True. It's not his...
not his type.
Not his style.
I must admit, that whole... When she kind of rocks over his house and it's like, ah, man, nothing untoward happens. It's like, I'm not comfortable in this situation. This shouldn't be here. And he shouldn't be comfortable either. He's like, hey, appreciate you coming, but... Don't come to my house.
I'll find someone else that you can.
It shouldn't be. Also, don't confide this in me. Like, I'm not equipped to be dealing with this. I'm just your cadet. I'm your cadet contact. You see me like once every 2 years. The brat pack, and also like that basketball lineup. Man, come on. Yeah, what a terrible
that little kid running point. Yeah. So get out of here.
So that was like one of the main tensions of the episode of. How are they going to get this ragtag group to compete in this basketball match against this elite squad?
The LAPD team.
The LAPD team. Mm. And they're like, oh, we've got one star player, but he can't play because his mum said so.
2 minute training montage.
They're so stressed about winning this game, but they're not a basketball team. Like, this isn't what they do. If someone came to them and said, you need to play another team in basketball... Like, what are you talking about? We're like just cadets and we all do other shit.
Presumably,
like, that guy's going to make the NBA, but we've never played basketball before.
Why are we doing this? Making us wash cars?
Yeah.
I paid my sign-up fee to clean guns, not a...
Exactly.
Not play ball.
Yeah.
That's all right, because Estrada gets them on the...
Estrada. It's like a mix of... You going to say Asava?
I don't know. Estrada gets them in the layup line and there's a 45-second montage of them just draining layups.
I reckon the guy that's NBA bound should probably be able to take care of that match by himself.
I would say certainly.
Going to college next year.
There weren't enough
he's probably going to be pretty good.
Weren't enough highlights from him for me.
No, he doesn't really.
He was just kind of cherry picking.
He gets one on the fast break. Yeah.
So I feel like LaRusso was doing most of the work on the inside.
The Italian Stallion.
Just knocking heads with that other 6'8".
Buoyed by the fact
kid.
That his dad's in the stand. just banging away down there.
Down low. I kind of feel like that was what we saw from there. Is if Andrea Bargnani had have been not a draft bust, that it would have been Johnny LaRusso. That's the good version of Andrea Bargnani going first to the Raptors. Is that what should have happened?
I don't know if he had like inside outside game though.
Do you reckon he was a bust because he was ashamed of his dad's accent?
Bargnani.
Yeah. That doesn't apply in the NBA.
Don't work. Italians don't fit in the NBA. No history of it.
No, Bellinelli's out of the league now.
Is Bellinelli out of the league?
He's playing in Italy, and I think it's just the shame of his dad's accent.
I can only imagine that's the reason.
Forced him out of the US. then returns to the motherland with his tail between his legs. Could not get my dad to talk. That's a terrible Italian.
It's awful.
It was as tasteful as a lot of the accents in the two episodes we watched.
That one will get bleeped. Do you remember?
Oh, that won't get bleeped, will it? I'm not doing an impression of anyone in particular.
Just the entire nation.
That's kind of the problem sometimes.
But yeah, it's safe to say that this second episode was pretty
good.
Pretty average.
Oh, yeah. It's a massive phone-in.
Yeah, it is. But that's why we live for this shit.
But like, they're trying to do too much and also too little at the same time.
Yeah. Actually, that's the best description I've ever
heard.
It's
like nothing's happened, but then 10 minutes to go, they've got like six different storylines. Oh, like, how did you get yourself in this situation?
Yeah, how are you going to tie all this stuff off? There's not enough time. And they just cranked it out with some really half-baked solutions for what are very half-baked problems that just weren't discussed at all. Like, oh, right, okay, this is pointless.
Handjobs for everyone.
And the very final line after Becky Lou hits the game winner is...
You broke my nail!
Freeze frame.
And that's the end of Chips.
Yeah, great, thanks. Six good years of highway patrol work.
And then I broke my nail.
I
mean, but this is the thing. And the same thing with Cotter. Like, maybe not with Cotter, but I would probably bet more to the point with $6 Million Man, which is another one of the older shows we did.
Mm.
Clearly, they weren't... Like, the shows just seem to track along. There's no overarching
storyline.
They're
just happy to be getting episodes
out. There's more episodes gets rolling along. Because it's clearly... That was not intended to be the final episode of Chips.
Oh, God, no.
No. Really hope not.
Yeah. Whether or not it's like, they had just done its run. Because I did, from what I read... So, Larry Wilcox left after season 5 because... Basically, he was feuding with Estrada, and they didn't. Yeah, they didn't get along, and Estrada was getting paid more.
He was. It's like
he's the money man.
He wanted to spend a season as the sexy one.
Yeah, but also Estrada
never get to hit on any entrapped women.
Estrada sat out six or seven episodes. I'm sick of you cucking me, Estrada.
Yeah, Estrada sat out 7 episodes because of a syndicate. He was feuding with the producers over syndication and the money coming through.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. You know who stepped in? Bruce Jenner. 7 episodes.
Bruce Jenner.
Really?
Now, I should say Caitlyn Jenner now.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Bruce Jenner stepped in as Officer Peter McLeish for a 7 episode arc.
Oh, yeah, I imagine after those 7 episodes, Estrada came back pretty quick.
Yeah.
Evidently.
It's just not the same show.
Well, you need. Without him. Yeah. Right? Estrada's he's the draw card.
Was that a thing as well? Were there a few episodes of Magnum PI without Tom Selleck?
I think there was episodes where he featured less, and they were around like. Higgins. I know why I said that. Because they
kicked it. They kicked Hervé off the off the island for asking for more money.
I think
peas in a pod.
Yeah, I think so. There were definitely episodes. I know there were episodes of Magnum, which was based around the.
It's just characters. Not the same show.
No, it's not. It's
no one's tuning in to watch those guys.
Yeah, but I with this show, though, it's kind of... I can't imagine... without Estrada, it's different, but, you know, it's just two guys riding around a motorcycle just pulling people over, you know? You just need someone who's willing to hit on women, and then you're fine.
Yeah.
Did you guys reckon the Sarge was doing his best Jack Nicholson the whole time?
Oh, I sure did.
Well, that'll make it a lot easier. Go ahead, Sarge.
All right. There were two young women, both very pretty, both blonde...
He was really dialing that
up. He was really dialing it up.
Jack would have been very big around then.
Had the, in the last episode as well, he had the, what's
real
the...
Real weird hair.
The hair.
Such
the,
strange haircut.
Yeah, what's the movie really with the Jack Nicholson goes crazy, kills his family with the axe?
Shining.
Had the Jack Nicholson shining hair.
Yeah, yeah. He was on the edge as well.
Oh yeah, big time.
He's about to get axe happy on those two women who stole his car.
Like, surely he's got other responsibilities.
We're just like policing the highways.
Just claim the insurance.
Yeah,
turn it off when you go to get a paper.
Exactly.
At least turn the ignition off.
Just report it as stolen. Don't dedicate the entire department.
Fine. It's like, not even technically stolen. He gifted it to them. He left it running with the door open and unlocked. Like what do you want them to
and
do?
And even so, when it turns out it crashes later,
it's tempting fate.
Like, yeah, you should have just claimed your insurance previously. Like you were supposed to.
It's gone, isn't it? Stolen, right?
Yeah.
What's the problem?
It's going to turn up and like...
No sympathy for that, man.
No, I don't know either. Anyway, should we tie this off and move into reboots?
Let's do it.
You guys mind if I go first?
Go for it.
By all means.
So we've talked a lot about the uniforms of Chips and how fantastic they look. They really show off a lot of lot of the jacked dudes. But true. I think we can go an extra step. Kind of like what we were talking about with the glued-on uniform, and I can just go full body paint.
Yeah. Like so, early 2000s Sports Illustrated calendar
yeah,
style.
Yeah, exactly. So every morning you get to the station, strip down, body paint up, chuck on a jock strap with a utility belt.
Just spray the dong.
that's your baton?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if you noticed, but John Baker's baton in the first episode is like flesh coloured.
Did you see that? Don't even need to spray the dong.
Exactly.
Yes, that's basically all it is. Just a bunch of beefed up dudes riding around on motorbikes and body paint.
Painted on uniforms.
Yeah, it's called thick cut steak fries.
Oh my God.
Can I go second?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. So you guys don't have iPhones, I've noticed. So this might not be relevant to you, but
we understand the concept.
Think you're better than us?
A little bit, yeah. I get it. You guys, we're not all chosen.
How deep into the iPhone universe are you about to go?
Not that deep.
Like, that we don't know about it.
Is it like the eye in chips?
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll soon find out. Well, there's an app. Oops. There's an app on iPhone.
Wait.
Let me see if I can break this down for you a little bit more. Dumb it down a shade. There's an app on iPhone. It's like automatically put on. It's one of the Apple iOS mm-hmm. apps. It's called Tips. Uh-huh. And basically just gives you advice on how to use your phone optimally. And so it's you never use it. It's kind of pointless. Mm-hmm. But I noticed in that last episode how Estrada was out giving advice, mm-hmm. just real world advice to kids. I'm creating a modification for Tips called Chips, where basically you access it and Eric Estrada tells you life hacks. Uh-huh. When should I have sex with my boyfriend? How to hit on women inside, car accidents, difficult situations.
How do I hide my father's horrendous accent?
How do I hide my horrendous accent? How do I body paint on a police uniform?
Exactly.
Real world advice.
How do I make my dong look like
yeah.
a
So you go into the modified version of the Tips app, Chips, and mm-hmm. Eric Estrada will, I got to quit. Yep. Scott, you got a life problem? I'm going to answer it for you.
Okay. You tell me my
problem. Who should I pretend to be what profession should I pretend to have while I hit on vulnerable single women?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Estrada will tell you the answer there.
Uh-huh. And what is the answer?
Go into the app and Estrada will tell you.
I can give it away for free.
All right. Am I going to get a different answer every time? Is this sort of like a...
Like an eight ball? No, yeah. I think it's
try again later.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's all like situational based. So if you change the question slightly, you might get a different answer. So
okay, all right.
Estrada's got time now. He can probably take each request on and then... It's like Cameo. Cameo.
Ah, right.
Cameo exclusive for Estrada.
He'll get back to me in his own time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
His phone, everyone who's got the app is just constantly pinging him with messages.
You're saying this comes pre-installed on every iPhone now?
It's a modification.
Okay.
You have to download the modification. But I'm working on an Android version as well. So.
I imagine we can do a similar thing that you two did with Apple, but Estrada and Tim Cook launching it.
Mm-hmm.
So they do the big finger touch and now Chips is on every iPhone.
Except people won't want to delete this. They'll want to keep it.
No, they'll delete everything else. This is all there is.
Unlike...
How am I going to get home? Like instead of Uber, how am I going to get home tonight?
he'll give you an answer.
They're running out of incremental improvements, so you got to think outside the box.
Hey, yeah. If you don't lock Estrada down,
Android's going to go after him.
I tell you what, this project it's hanging the edge of a knife, really. So,
and he'll walk. He's done it before.
Oh, I know he'll walk.
He doesn't mess around.
Exactly. That's the thing. When you got a track record like that, it's very hard. So. Anyway, potential investors.
Chips the app
modification.
Chip tips.
Yeah. All right. Chips. Well, we're kind of going in a circle here, so I'll go next. Unless Scott.
You'll go last. Thank you very much.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So mine is crisps, and it's California Railway Inspector State Police Service. And they're railway police. So rather than riding around on motorbikes, going to accidents and hunting down stolen sports cars, they're on one of those.
They're one of the pump action rail. I don't know what they're called.
Solving rail crimes.
Crisps.
Yeah, crisps.
Who's going to play Estrada? Estrada?
Mm. Estrada, yeah.
You can't really replace Estrada.
He's got the upper body strength to really
true. Yeah.
Get that thing up to speed.
Guns will be popping.
They're going to have to
catch a bullet train just
Yeah, I hope that those uniforms stretch because he's going to be ripped.
Yeah, yeah. It might also might be a tie-in with.
I think so.
Well, the paint's not going
to cut steak fries.
Paint's not going to stretch.
there'll be some really exciting chases in that.
Yeah,
just on a rail, yeah. Trying to get around a train.
You couldn't try and lose him in the streets.
Yeah,
try and lose him in the tunnel network.
Try and divert the traffic off there.
Just get away.
There could be some classic lever. Yeah. Lever. Well, divert the traffic.
Is it just train and rail? Is light rail included on this?
Yeah, all rail.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Trans.
Mono.
Yeah.
Mono. Yeah. They got a cruiser for the monorail.
Yeah. Cool. Cool. No, I'd get around crisps. What about you, Scott? You got a reboot?
No.
Nothing?
No. Not this time.
That's okay. Those three were pretty solid, so
they're all covers it off. Very, very solid.
Let's plow ahead. Aaron, you got an IMDb list for us?
I sure do. I hope you guys are ready to have your dicks blown off by this one.
Hopefully. Blown off, or is there going to be some... Yeah.
We'll see. There might be some left. Not total scorched earth. So this is a list by Big Kim 415, and it is average height actors. So it's a list of 26 actors whose height is 180 or 181 centimeters.
Okay.
Would you believe it?
Well,
I reckon okay. it's more.
All right, hang on.
Let me prioritize 26. Something because I got to hold on my dick here.
Is that like an official average height?
I don't know.
Or is that just like they've just picked a number and like, oh, that's pretty
it
average.
Sounds pretty average. Yeah.
That seems high. I reckon it'd be under.
I would also think it would be under for an average.
It sounds average though. Average.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if this is exhaustive, to be honest. There might be more than 26 people. There's some big
names.
I
would think so. Okay.
Would you believe that Larry David and Hugh Grant are the same height?
I would.
Larry David seems he's lanky though.
I thought he was a bit taller, but
so he's like 6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, that's what I thought.
When you said Larry David, I thought, who's the basketballer?
Larry Bird.
Larry Bird. That's Larry what I was thinking. What is the go here?
Yeah, Hugh Grant is 6'9".
Larry Bird created. Larry Bird.
Hugh Grant's 6'9".
Larry Bird's a creative Seinfeld.
Yeah. Speaking of, Jerry Seinfeld himself was on here.
Ooh, average height. There you go.
Average height.
Good to know. That makes sense. Jerry's the average man.
He's Andre Agassi, George Clooney.
Andre Agassi's the average height.
Technically not an actor.
Yeah.
Good point.
Maybe he did the grunts.
Running out of names of people who are 180 or 181 centimeters.
Yeah. There's only so many.
So many people in that height range.
Maybe he voice acted himself in that Andre Agassi tennis game in like 1992 on the Sega Genesis.
So that's an IMDb credit. Counts.
And Larry Wilcox is 5 foot 10 and 3/4 inches, 180 centimeters.
Strata's not on there.
I thought it was gonna be a
how
strata.
Big is a strata?
Maybe he he's would need be like smaller. 3 foot? Yeah, something like that.
He's a halfling.
Yeah,
Puerto Ricans are known for their height.
I reckon he'd be 5'7", maybe.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe. Well, maybe 5. Oh. I'm going to give him 5'9".
He's 177 centimeters.
Oh, he's not that small.
Well,
he's
just below average.
Yeah. Damn, so he didn't make the list.
He's off the list.
Ah,
maybe there's a list of
shattered.
26, just under average height
actors. Slightly below average.
Nuts.
Andre Agassi was in an episode of Mad About You.
Was he really?
Interesting.
We should do Mad About You.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know what it is.
It's... like a show about a couple living in New York in like the mid-90s.
Right.
And it's got Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt in it.
Helen Hunt.
I remember my mum used to watch it. My dad hated it.
It makes me just think of like...
fact, that.
Makes me think of...
true.
Makes me think of Mad Maggot.
We can flesh that out to a whole episode.
we definitely can.
We've done more with less.
Yeah. Just, we definitely have.
It makes me think of Mad Magazine. I just have an association.
Yeah, okay. They're very unrelated. Are they actually, I'm pretty sure they rebooted...
Alfred P. Newman isn't in Mad About You.
No, he's not.
No.
I'm pretty sure Mad About You got rebooted recently as well. There's like a they've done a
where are they now?
They've just revived it. Like they have with Will and Grace and
is Helen Hunt's character played by Michael Peña?
Well, obviously, I mean,
Michael Peña also plays Andre Agassi.
Yeah, if you're reviving anything, you gotta go to the expert.
I reckon Michael Peña is an average height. I reckon if you looked up his height, I reckon
he probably would be.
All right, Aaron, if he is, That's going to blow your dick
clean off. The South American actors trend shorter, Scott.
If we were to reboot this podcast, would Peña be the headliner?
This podcast?
Yeah, say someone, say we closed it off and then someone wanted to reboot it, bring it back.
Yeah.
He'd definitely be, he'd be
who's he'd close, be attached,
he'd
say.
Be poking around.
Yeah.
Who's he closest to in height of all of us?
He'd be kicking the tires.
He's 1.7 meters tall, so he's below average. Meters.
Okay, yeah, right.
Exact same height as Pitbull. He's 100 times taller than Pitbull.
As we know, Pitbull is tiny.
Yeah.
Microscopic.
No wonder Peña doesn't have the same kind of...
Zazz.
Yeah. As Asada.
Estrada.
Asada.
He's hopping around all over the place, aren't you?
Asada.
Asada.
Pastrama.
The 2011 Holden Astra.
Well...
Holden Astra.
I think before we butcher Estrada's name any further, we should probably start to wrap things up. So final thoughts on Chips. What do you guys think? This wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, I had a bit of fun.
Would have liked more motorbikes in the finale and at least one mono.
Yeah. I would have. I feel like...
They also didn't take those things over any sweet jumps.
Yeah, he said he did his own stunts. Very little stunt work.
There wasn't
much
happening.
Bit of glue work. When he goes to go off-road... In the the opening of the first episode, and just absolutely stacks it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
Is that a stunt?
That is technically a stunt. Okay. I think. Yeah,
you're in the business.
I think
when you intentionally hurt yourself, that's a stunt.
No, he was meant to just keep going straight.
Okay, I had to change the storyline. Yeah. It's so bad.
I was disappointed that we didn't get to see him flex a little more muscle in terms of hitting on women. We really only got the one. He only sort of really kind of. I mean, it was a strong showing.
I think Jez is right. They maybe saw which way the wind was blowing and dialed it back a little bit.
Yeah, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. But
there's a way that he can be charismatic without picking. Specifically vulnerable women.
No, that's true.
I don't think men have figured that out yet.
I'm sure there's a woman in episode 2 or 3 that's crushed between two cars that he has a crack at.
Oh, yeah. He's resourceful. Let's just say that. Will you guys go back and watch any of this at all?
It seemed like they had some good, they had some good on-road banter.
Yeah.
I'm gonna
go look up some stuff on YouTube.
Is the Michael Peña reboot, does that count? If I watch that,
you bet your bottom dollar they're doing a mono in that. So maybe you'll get your money's worth.
All right. It's got a
popping a wheelie.
Disturbingly low rating on Rotten Tomatoes. I know Rotten Tomatoes.
It's a worry.
Rotten Tomatoes isn't the be all and end all.
No, I'm more of an IMDb man myself.
Yeah.
I don't much care for tomatoes.
So you putting out 2 hours for a 6 out of 10?
So
maybe at
1.5. You probably put it out for less.
I'm a busy man, but yes, I would.
Yeah, you've done more with less before.
It's true, actually.
Oh, it is a 6 out of 10. That's not too bad.
I can tell you, I watched a very ordinary film on Wednesday night. But we'll leave that for off air.
Did you watch it on...
What a cliffhanger.
Did you watch it on 1.5?
No. Well, after we have...
Subscribe to our Patreon to get you can find reveal the movie Morgan watched.
My lucky fan gets to join Wednesday night movie night.
I watched Invasion USA with Chuck Norris. I put it on just...
As a joke?
Pretty much, because on Stan...
Joke for who?
Recently uploaded all these Chuck Norris movies. And I was just flicking through them. I'm like, I've got to watch the first 10 minutes of this thing to see what it's like. And I just kind of watched the whole thing. And I was house sitting for my parents because they went away. So I had to take care of I've taken care of Jimmy, their dog. And I just had a couple of beers and started watching. And just Chuck Norris kind of walking around with two Uzis killing multinational terrorists. It was pretty shit.
Roundhouse kicks?
Nah, not a lot of roundhouse.
Does he have a gun?
No, he has two Uzis that are constantly... He has a gun, a strap, two Uzis there. He just sort of...
I thought he was Batman.
Chuck Norris in all his movies?
He's not afraid to...
I only know...
Resort to firearms.
Texas.
Yeah.
But
and he doesn't have a gun in that, I don't think.
No, he does. He's a Texas Ranger.
It's Texas.
Yeah.
All right,
but
you guys sound like you know what you're talking about. So
you underestimate.
I've seen one. I've seen Missing in Action in one other Chuck Norris film. So I know.
Okay, you're a resident expert.
Exactly.
Live to the experts.
Yeah, live to us. So anyway, I think on that we would like. I really want to do Texas Walker. Texas Walker.
Texas Walker Ranger.
Texas Walker Ranger.
Ranger Texas.
Ranger
Walker.
Texas Walker. There we go.
Tex Walker.
Tex Walker. Whoa. I think we should definitely do.
You're gonna have to cross reference your reboots before that day.
It's got it. If we can find it, 18 Wheels of Justice. Otherwise, Walker Texas Ranger. Would
watch
be great.
The very first Tex Walker game and the very last Tex Walker game.
Figure out where it all went wrong.
We'll see how bad the career is. Anyway, let's tie things up there because before I start talking about what else I watched on Wednesday night.
House to yourself.
Spin City. No. I watched Spin City. Pretty good.
Well, stop giving it away. Sorry. We need to join Patreon members.
Cool. Yeah, you're tanking the Patreon.
Yeah. Okay. As always, if you can go onto your preferred platform, follow, rate, review, do whatever gets us out there more, we'd really appreciate it. Jump on our website, throw us a suggestion. Jump on our Facebook, throw us a suggestion.
Mm. We don't have a Patreon, but if anyone wants to start one for us and just give us some money.
We wouldn't say no.
About time.
Yeah. We wouldn't say no.
It is about time. You've been getting this for free for way too long.
Yeah, exactly. You've given up our own time. And anyway, we'll leave things there. So thank you, Aaron.
Thank you, Morgs.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jez.
Thanks.